Hello, everyone. Can I have your attention, please? Thank you. We're already a bit behind schedule, but I think everyone has found a place to sit, so that's good. There's quite many of you, and I think the doors are closed now. And first, before we get started, I just want to check something. Are there any degree students here in the room? Okay, good. I don't see any hands because this is the orientation for exchange students. So if you are a degree student, you should go either through the door downstairs or up from the corners to room C2. But I think you're all exchange students, so you're in the right place. So welcome to today's orientation program. And I think we can get started with some basic guidelines. I think we have some students also on Zoom. So if you're on Zoom, please keep the camera off and your microphone muted. And you can ask questions via the chat, and we will read the questions at the end of the sessions. So don't worry, we'll answer your question even if it's in Zoom. But just keep your camera off and mic muted so that we don't hear the sounds from your Zoom here in the big hall. For those of you who are here in C1, you can ask questions. We have this lovely dice that we can throw at you very gently, don't worry. And you can ask questions at the end of the sessions, and we'll have some moments between different topics where you can ask questions. And you can just raise your hand, we'll throw the dice, and you can ask the questions. All these sessions are recorded, so don't worry, you will be able to check these out later as well. And we will also upload all the slides to the orientation program website, which is linked here, but you can also just find it by Googling orientation program JYU. And we will try to upload everything within this week, next week. As you can see, the international office staff is here, so we're quite busy with the orientation. So we'll try our best to upload them on time, but please have some patience. But yes, I think we can continue with some introductions, and I'll give the mic to Owl.
If I come home,
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
you can go there, all of you.
Yes, good morning, everyone, and very warm welcome to the University of Uvascular. I hope your day has started well. And we're going to start now with really short introductions who are here today with you. So my name is Auli Pitkänen, and I'm the team leader of the international office. And I'm also the Erasmus Institutional Coordinator. And in addition to that, I work with the Mobility Online software that all of you have been using when you applied here. But then let's go on. Who else do we have here from the international office?
I think I'm next on the list. My name is Laura Laamanen, and I work as international coordinator at the international office, and I am in charge of ISEP and Nordlys students. So if you are students who belong to this category, perhaps you could wave your hand. Any ISEP students, Nordlys students? Hi, great to see you here. If you have any questions during your stay here, do get in touch with me. You can also set up an appointment with me if you'd like to have a chat, so that we can talk through any issues that you have. But welcome to all of you to Jyväskylä. Great to see you here.
Thanks. I'm Tina Savela. I also work as an international coordinator at the international office. I'm in charge of our bilateral student exchange and our Erasmus International Credit Mobility, or Erasmus Global, as we also call it. So if you're here to one of these programs, you're welcome to contact me with any questions you may have, also throughout the semester, not just in the beginning of the semester. And next, I have a request for all of you. If you haven't already contacted your family, your mom and dad back home, please do so as soon as possible. Because if you don't contact them, let them know that you are safe here and arrived safely to your hospital. They will call us, so please be in contact with your family. Thank you.
So, hello everyone on my behalf as well. I'm Elisa Fritesi, and I'm responsible for incoming Erasmus students. I think I probably met many of you as I posted the pre-arrival info, so you might have seen me on Zoom, but it's nice to see you live as well. And as a fun fact, this year is exactly the 10th year that I've been here And 10 years ago, I was sitting where you were as an exchange student. So that's just a, you never know where you might end up. You might end up in here in Jyväskylä. But yes, welcome on my behalf. And then I think it's with Viivi.
Good morning, all. My name is Viivi Käkäläinen. I'm actually a student myself. I'm doing my master's program in history. And this autumn and a bit of the next year, I will be an international trainee. So you will most likely see me at the info desk. And I will also be responding to your requests and questions and everything you may face during your exchange.
Right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Ville Härsilä, and I work at the international office in tutoring-related matters, but also at the Student Union of the University of Jyväskylä as a specialist in international affairs. And yeah, we will be covering tutoring matters today, and later on on Friday, we will be discussing more about the Student Union matters. Thank you.
Yes, I could actually come there. So yes, now we introduced ourselves, but now we would like to know something about you. And you can go to menti.com and use this code, or I'll show you in a second the QR code that you can also scan.
Nice. And one thumbs down.
But I think we can go to the first answer, hoping that you have answered or not. Let's see if you can answer now. Tired is fair enough. I'm assuming most of you arrived in the last days, so hopefully you get some time to rest. The orientation week is very intense, but hopefully we'll get a bit calmer after. But I'm happy to see that there's many excited. Great. Hyvä, I see someone has taken the survival Finnish course. That's good. I also see a bit some of like nervous and stressed and anxious, and I also think that's normal. And I I can share it in Zoom as well. Yes. Okay, now the people in Zoom should see it as well. Well, yes, I think overall, positive with a hint of nervousness and anxiety, which is always good to start. And there's a lot of new things awaiting you. So I think it's good to be a bit worried, a bit anxious, but not too much. And I hope that all the things you are excited about and that you look forward to will be realized. I see someone has...
Can we see the code again? Not all of us got it.
Yes. I think it actually should show up here. Let me see if I can... Yeah. Can you see it from there? On the top of it? Well, this is a... Yeah, I think it's a cable issue.
That was an accident.
Yo. Okay. What? It's... There. Yes. And we're sorry about the slight technical issues. I think there's a most likely a faulty cable or connection that's not working right now. But I think we can wait a second. I I also see some someone wrote confused. And I hope that for all the questions you have about this beginning of your exchange, like you'd remember that you can always turn to your tutors if you have any questions. But overall, I see quite good. I'm alive. I'm happy you are alive, whoever wrote that. And I'm also happy someone wrote Finnish. I'm happy you're feeling Finnish, whatever you might mean by that. But yes, I think we could move on to the next question, if the screen doesn't fail us again. Yes. So the next one is, what are your expectations for your exchange? What do you expect? What do you most look forward to? Fun? Fair enough. we cannot promise the not to freeze to whoever wrote that. I also see a lot of meet new people and make new friends, and I'm sure that will happen. And I'm happy to see also learning new things. An adventure, improve English, maybe learn a bit of Finnish as well. Okay, I see there's quite many different things. That's good that you have so many. I see someone wrote Northern Lights. In the same way, we cannot promise those, but one can hope, and you can prepare yourself to go Northern Light hunting. But yes, I see meet new people and fun. Fun seems to be the absolute winner, so that's good. I hope you get to have fun and make new friends. But I think if the screen continues working, we could probably continue. So thank you for your answers. We will take screenshots of these and add them to the presentation later. But now I think I give the floor to Auli.
I have to send
it. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I will get back to the presentation. Here we go. And we can actually go to this. Okay, and I think it's now shared in Zoom as well. So, Auli, I give the floor to you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you again. And again, nice seeing all of you here, and so anxious but still happy, waiting for all the fun that's ahead of you. So again, welcome to the University of Jyväskylä. And I give you a brief introduction to the university, how it has been built here through the last 160 years, and how it looks like today. Well, actually, first about the city of Jyväskylä, where you have now landed. I dare to say that, yeah, city of Jyväskylä, it's the best place to study. So you've made a very good decision by coming here. Jyväskylä is the seventh largest city in Finland. We have over 147,000 inhabitants. And also the population with an immigrant background increases from year to year. So we are getting more multicultural as well. It's definitely a student city. So there's a lot of students, and we have a long tradition of higher education here in Jyväskylä. So both the university and then the JAMK University of Applied Sciences. And more than one in three residents holds a degree in higher education. So we are quite highly educated in this city. It's at least what we think, it's big enough, but it's yet small enough. It might be that it's really small what you are used to, but still I think it's quite nice quite a perfect size. You can cycle everywhere, so I hope that you have or will get a bicycle for yourself, because that's a good way to move around, because everything is quite near. All the campuses and the city, everything is quite near, and it's a good way to move around. Sorry for all the hills that you will encounter, but yeah, maybe you will have good exercise while cycling as well. There are a wide range of activities for all interest in the city, and it is called actually the capital of sport in Finland, and I hope you will notice that as well. And also, there's a large variety of cultural activities and events. There's a beautiful nature on your doorsteps. We have the lake, lakes around here, but then the forests and hills within a walking distance of the city center, and actually walking distance from the campus. So you don't have to go far, that you are within in a forest within the campus. So try that as well. And actually, just to say about the campus as well, it's actually a botanical garden in itself. So when you walk around the campus, look about those different plants that are there, and you can see their names and enjoy that as well. About the university in a nutshell, at the moment there are about 14,300 students, 2,800 staff, of which teaching staff 1,700. We have six faculties currently, in which we taught 20 English taught masters and master's degree programs, two of which are Erasmus Mundus joint masters. And actually, next year we're going to start our first bachelor's degree program in English. So that's a new thing for us. Altogether, if we count together the English and Finnish programs, we have about 150 degree programs on bachelor, master, and doctoral levels. About the exchange students, today there are about 330 incoming exchange students in this autumn. So it's quite a big number. I think one of the reasons is that we have quite a wide selection of courses in English. So I hope you can find interesting courses for your exchange stay. And in addition to that, we have international summer and winter schools, where we then have also, maybe some of you are taking those courses, but we have also students coming for shorter stays. The origins of the University of Jyväskylä are in the Finnish-speaking teacher training college founded in 1863, and actually have short history here. So in 1863, the Jyväskylä Teacher Seminary was founded, and then gradually it has become the University of Jyväskylä. So from 1966 onwards, it has been called the University of Jyväskylä. So last year, we celebrated the 160 years of our teacher training, and actually also 60 years of our physical education teacher training, which is unique in Finland. So all the physical education teachers are trained here in Jyväskylä, in Finland. As I said, we have six faculties. We are a very multidisciplinary university. So we have the Faculty of Education and Psychology, Humanities and Social Sciences, Information Technology, Mathematics and Science, Sport and Health Sciences, which is the only one of its kind in Finland, and then the University, Jyväskylä University School of Business and Economics. So most likely you will find here the faculty where you are studying most of your studies. But I think most of you will also be taking some language courses in Finnish, English, or some other languages. So we have also the Center for Multilingual Academic Communication, which we called MOVI. And so they are providing language and communication courses free of charge. So you can utilize their language and communication courses as well. The core fields of our university are definitely learning, teaching, and interaction, where it all has started. We are also good in basic natural phenomena and mathematical thinking, sustainable business and economics, but also language, culture and society, and as I already mentioned, physical activity, health and well-being, and one more, information technology and the human in knowledge society. So these are the core fields that the university is known of. But of course, we don't want to forget the students. You are in the core of the university as well. We have this student life concept, which is an, it's kind of umbrella concept to promote the overall well-being of students inside and outside the classroom. So that we feel that it's really important that you feel good, you feel at home, both here at the university and when you live here in Jyväskylä. We are really trying to help you to support your development and growth. Someone actually has thrown this personal growth is one of your targets here during your exchange, and that's what you expect. And we are here to help you with that. And we try to see that you would have the optimal conditions for studying and learning. What kind of services we offer, especially for international students? Well, as you've noticed, we have the arrival service. The student tutors have been there, I hope, to help each and every one of you. If not, please contact us and we will try to help you if you haven't found your tutor or your tutor group yet, but I hope everyone has. There are peer students who know their way around the campus, who know the best place to eat and how to where to do your work and so use them now in the beginning so that you will have a very good start for your studies. This orientation program, we see this very important because here we can give you a lot of information, maybe a bit too much information. Don't be worried if you don't get everything now during the first few days because there's a lot of information coming. But as Elisa said, we're going to put all the slides and this recording on our website so then you can check things later. Finnish language courses. How many of you have already participated in a Finnish language course? Yeah, quite many. Good. And I hope that the rest of you will also. So take the Survival Finnish course. It will help you a lot in integrating into the city and into the society, into the university even. So take that as an interesting experience of learning a new language. But in addition to Finnish, we also offer the MOBI offers the academic English courses. So if you would like to better your English during your stay here, use those courses as well. Take them as part of your studies, and I think they will help you a lot because I think at least most of you will be studying in English, and for most of you it's not your native language. So use those courses for your benefit as well. And finally, we also have a very extensive university sports program. So there are a lot of different sports courses and different sports that you can exercise for a very small fee, I think. So do that as well. It might be also a good way to get to know some of the Finnish students who are there as well. So get involved in those university sports activities. Okay, about the campus where you are now. We have actually three campuses. This one is called Seminaarinmäki. And then we have, when you go down by the lake, there's Mattilaniemi. And then on the other side of the lake, Ylistö. But they are all really close to each other, so it's possible to move quite quickly from one to another. But they are quite different. This one is the oldest and the two other are newer. So the architecture, for example, is quite different. About a bit about the architects. There are several well-known Finnish architects who have been designing these buildings. Currently, you are sitting in a building designed by one of the most famous Finnish architects, Alvar Aalto. And quite many of the buildings here on Seminaarimäki are designed by him. So take a look at the buildings as well when you have some time. In 2022, we received a European Heritage Label and also Finlandia Prize for the architecture here on campus. And then the university library was renovated. And there's a picture here of the university library. I hope the tutors have taken you there or will take you there quite soon. I've noticed that students have really found the place, and it's now it's a center for students, and students do enjoy using the different facilities. And it was actually when it was renovated on students on mind. So thinking how we could help you to study here the best way. But altogether, the campus highlights the significance of the Finnish and European education system as the basis for equal and democratic society. So that's why we got the heritage label in 2022. So I hope you will notice all of this during your studies. One more thing about the university. We have now for a few years been part of a European University Alliance called For Them, which is a network of 9 different European universities. And here are a few things what we offer for students. We have a wide range of short and long-term mobility opportunities, and I checked that this autumn there's around 30 incoming exchange students from our For Them partner universities. Are there some here? Yeah, good. Welcome all the For Them students as well. We also offer for students internship opportunities in schools, language centers, NGOs, businesses, and an online platform for shared courses that students can also study online between these universities, and then some funding and training for civic engagement projects and also For Them Buddy program and other networking opportunities. So this is also something that we're not doing only ourselves, but we're doing together with our partners and also all the other partner universities where you are coming from. So it's important that we have these partners, we have the networks, and we can together give you the best education possible. Just a few words to the end. How to make the most of your time here at JYU. If you have not done so yet, please do so. Please set some goals for your exchange day. Think about what do you want to achieve? Is it something concerning the studies? If there's something taught here that maybe is not taught at your home university, or maybe it's a language, Finnish, English, some other language. If you want to make new friends, if you want to get to know the culture and the society here in Finland, think about what do you want to achieve? You might be here for 4 months, maybe some of you for even 9 months, but it's going to go quite fast. So think about what do you want to achieve during that time. Be open-minded. Most likely many things are done here differently from your home university, from your home country. It might be as good, it might be better, it might be not that good way of doing things, but just be open-minded and think about things and try to understand something of your own background. Where do you come from? And then also the Finnish way of thinking and living. And why are things maybe done in different ways in different cultures? And also it's a mix of different cultures here that you will get also friends from all over the world. So take that as an enriching experience. But try to get to know some of the Finnish students as well. I know that it might be difficult. It is many times said that it's difficult to get to know Finnish people. But when you do, you mostly make friends for life. So get involved in the activities. As I said, for example, the sports program where there might be possibilities to get involved with the Finnish students as well. It's so easy to hang around with the exchange students. You can be in the exchange bubble, but if you can get out and also get to know some of the Finnish students and staff also, that will be a really good thing. But all in all, get involved in the student activities. So in addition to the studies, also the free time activities, try to use them for your benefit as well. And as I think it was Tina and Laura already said, that always, if there are questions, please come and ask us. Send us emails, send us questions through the Help JYU. And anytime. So don't stay at home wondering things and thinking, how can you solve them? Come and ask. We are there for you to help you so that you can get the best out of this experience. So all in all, enjoy your stay, and I hope you will have many, many good experiences at the end. Thank you.
Okay. As Auli mentioned already about thinking about your goals and what you want out of this exchange for yourself, we would now like you to talk with each other a bit so that you also get to know each other a bit better. I'm assuming most of you are sitting next to people they already know. So try to maybe turn around, find someone you don't know yet, or that maybe you've just met today or during your Finnish course or English course. And you'll have like a couple of minutes to talk about your goals, and they can be academic or non-academic, but hopefully not just the fun that you gave in the previous slide, but talk a bit with each other about what your goals are for the exchange. And then we'll hear from you in a bit. So yeah, turn around, find someone to talk to. Yes.
Okay, he's from Poland, and I also was in Poland for my fellowship, and I just came from Poland. Actually, I came from Turkey, but for 2 months I was in Poland. In fact, I was doing my fellowship there, and then I came straight to Finland. Actually, and I'm a pianist and a dancer, and my goals are to improve myself, and I would to meet new people. And I like North Europe. I really like nature, forests, and everything. And I think that Finland is the perfect country for this. And I also love snow, and we don't have snow in Turkey, so I'm very happy and waiting for the snow. Really nice to meet you. I hope I will get used to everything. And actually, I also will be playing in orchestra. I think I found some orchestra here in Latvia. So I'm happy to meet you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think you can now throw the dice further wherever you want. Yes, in the black round. Thank you. Okay. I'm thinking, can we get the dice in any way to the other side?
Let's make a half circle. Yeah. Somewhere.
Okay. Are you okay? Everything good? Okay. Yes.
So I'm from the US. My speaking partner is from the Czech Republic, which is cool because I speak quite a bit of Finnish as well as some Ukrainian. So similar linguistic family. I'm here to study mostly chemistry, although back in the States I'm a pre-med major. I'm also a music major back in the States, very different double majors, I know. So I am really hoping to meet some musicians here. I eventually want to go to Sibelius. So if somebody here ever wants to play, I play flute, oboe, and clarinet. So especially piano players, if you're ever looking for something.
Okay, there you go. Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I think at this point we have to continue because we're running a bit behind schedule, but thank you everyone for being brave. And now we're back to a slightly more boring part, but necessary. So first off, by show of hands, raise your hand if you have identified yourself in Signicat or via the manual electronic identification or the digital services, and you have your username already. Oh, excellent. This is great news for me. So in order to get your username to work, you indeed need to identify yourself. So I'm happy to see that most of you have already done it. But in case you haven't done it, or you have any issues with your username, the easiest way for you who are already in Uvascula is to visit the service desk of the digital services. So you can ask your tutor to show you where it is, but it's in the library building on the third floor, room B315, and they're open from 10 to 2 every day of the week. If you're not in Uvascula, so if you're in Zoom, you can do it through Signicat. You should have received an email about it. And if it doesn't work, you can schedule a manual electronic identification, and you can find the further instructions about this on the link in this slide. But continuing a bit about your user account. So after you have identified yourself successfully, you will be given a username and a temporary password. So I'm assuming most of you have already received that. And now I'm hoping that most of you have also followed the instructions and logged into your own personal information management system, which is called OMA, and that is the address, and taken care of the steps that are listed in the slides. And most importantly, you have changed your password. So you were given a temporary one, and you should, as soon as possible, if you haven't done it already, change the temporary password and set your own password. And selected your default email. So we recommend you use the JYU student email, but you can also set your home university's email if you prefer to have that as your default email. And then save everything. And why is this important? Because if you don't change your password or set your email, your user account will lock itself in a couple of days. And then you have to start over, go to the digital services and have it unlocked and re-change the password and everything. So if this has happened and your user account doesn't work anymore, you can go to the digital services and they will fix it for you. But please, if you still can, change your password and set your default email ASAP. And here is again the contact information of the, well, there would be again if this cable would work. But let's see if it, yes, perfect. The contact information of the digital services service desk. As I said, they're open Monday to Friday from 10 to 2. And you can just go and get them to help you. There's usually not a huge queue. So if it's a quick matter like fixing your username, it usually won't take a very long time. And it's on the third floor. You can also call them if you wish, or you can also contact them via Help JYU. I have a separate slide about Help JYU, so you will see it then. But moving on then to what you can do with your username. So with your username, so your credentials, you can log into various university services, but I think the most important one, which you will hear about in a bit, is CISU, which is the course registration system. So many of you are probably eager to register to the courses and get started planning your schedule for the academic year or the semester. And you will hear from a colleague of mine an info on how to do that and how to make your study plan. Your tutor can also help you, but please remember that your tutor is a fellow student, so they cannot advise you on what courses to choose or how many credits is enough for you. These things you can discuss with your faculty level international coordinator. There is their contact info in the following slides, I think. But your tutor can help you from a student perspective. So they can show you how to use CISU on a very like basic student perspective side. If you have technical problems with CISU, there is a CISU support team. The easiest to reach them is via Help JYU. They also have a quick guide to course registration, which is a very bullet point, quick, sort of with screenshots instruction on how to register. But if you have any other questions, you can ask your tutor, you can ask the CISU support team. So it's a very basic instruction, but it is a good one. Then if you need to print something, the university pays the student who start at the start of the academic year a quota of €5 per academic term. And if you're staying here for the whole year, you will have €10. The slide says 5, but it's supposed to be 10. My apologies for the typo. And the printing quota is not yet in your account. So if now you log into a printer, you can see there are many printers on campus, for example, in the library building. If you log in now with your user credentials, the same that you use for CISU, for Moodle, for everything, it will show that you don't have any money yet. But from the 2nd of September, it should show €5. So if you need to print starting from next week, you should be able to. And if you have any issues, you can contact the printing services, which are linked at the bottom of this slide. And if you were to need more money on your printing quota, you can only buy it physically in person at the printing services of the university, which is not exactly here in this campus, but it's quite close and you can find the address at that link. And as Auli and as I said, we will upload all the slides, so you will be able to actually click all these links then. But yes, then I leave the floor to Ville, who will tell you a bit about the campus and the student union and
everything. Thank you so much, Elisa. Next, I will be covering these topics really briefly as we are running a bit behind schedule. But a lot of the things Auli already brought up, so I don't have to repeat myself. Here you can see the campus map. And as Auli said, there are three campus areas. If you follow this link found in the slide, you can actually find your own classrooms where the different campus restaurants are located and so forth. So when you have access to Sisu and you are looking at your courses and you're not exactly sure where your course is taking place, you can use this website to find the correct building and the correct floor and so forth. So it's very, very useful. Go ahead. And as said earlier, we will be sharing these slides so you can also enter the link from these slides. Then there is MyJYU app, which is a very, very good app to have everything in one place. From MyJYU app, you can basically check your course calendar, all the campus restaurants, their menus, available study places in the library. For example, you can book your own study spaces if you have like a group activity going on, or during your studies, you need to have coursework to be done. You can book different places from MyJYU app, all in this one place. And this can be downloaded from app stores, from Play stores as well. So works on all phones. And it's developed for the students of our university. So please go and use it as much as you need to. There are plenty of campus restaurants on the campus areas, and each of the campuses have at least one restaurant. We have most of the restaurants here in Seminaari Mäki, but there are also a few ones in Mattilaniemi and Ylistörinne. And there are two different campus restaurant operators, Semma and then Food & Co, which is in the library building. You can check their menus from their websites found here, but also in the MyJYU app. And in these campus restaurants, you can get student-priced meals for €2.95. It's like a very, very good meal and a very, very good deal for you. If you are a member of the student union or you have a Kela meal subsidy card, you can basically get this student-priced meal. I'm going to talk more about the student card in a moment, but it is a very important step in order for you to get the student-priced meal. The meal includes one main course drink, which you can also drink tap water in Finland, by the way, and also bread. And there are always vegan and vegetarian options available, so you don't need to worry about that. And also in the menus, when you check them out in advance, you can check the allergens and diets and so forth. So all that information is available to you as well. And for the sake of recycling, please bring your own reusable bottle so you don't have to, we don't create extra waste with bottles, but if you have your own reusable bottle, it will be very, very useful. All right, next, a few words about the student union and the student card. So the student union is basically an embodiment of the student movement here in Finland. We are very highly organized as students, and we have over 40 student and hobby associations operating within our student union's umbrella. I will be talking more about this on Friday's session, but next I'm going to focus on the most important thing, which is the membership and the student card. So joining the student union is voluntary, but highly recommended for all exchange visiting and doctoral students. If you have joined the student union, or you can join the student union by paying the student union membership fee. And for exchange students, it's €76.50. This sum really pays for itself, or the membership really pays for itself in the end, because you get access to all sorts of different discounts and benefits. For example, the previously mentioned student-priced meals. So it's really, really useful to have. If you have joined the student union by paying the membership fee after the 1st of July, please submit your receipt via Help JYU, because the university needs to register your membership fee payment. If you haven't yet paid, no worries. You can join the student union at any stage by you can check more information in the student union's website about the payment. You can basically make a bank transfer or by visiting the student union's office, which is located here in the Seminaarimäki campus area. And there you can pay with a credit card or by cash as a last resort. And if you do this at the Ilokivi or the student union's Ilokivi office, they will submit the receipt automatically to the student services of the university. But if you are doing this on your own, please remember to submit the receipt. Otherwise, your membership is not registered. And once you have become a member of the student union, you are entitled to get a student card. And there are two different options. There's a physical student card and a digital student card. And I highly recommend you to opt to get the digital student card, since it's free of charge and it works on mobile phones. The way you can activate your student card is to go to this address found in the slide and fill out all the open fields with personal information. And then there is a field email address, which is known at your education institution. This is the email address that you're using for your studies here in our university. And you can check if you're uncertain what the email address is. You can check it from Sisu, for example, or from OMA account, which was mentioned earlier. After you have filled out all the information, you receive an email with temporary login credentials within a few hours. Please be patient, it can take a while, but eventually you will get an email with all the necessary information. And once you have downloaded the app, you can insert these temporary login credentials and get access to your digital student card. If you want a physical student card, please contact our student union's specialist in member and association affairs, Petra Pitkänen. One thing to highlight about the physical student card is that it costs around €25, including a delivery fee, and it also needs your home address here in Finland. So there are a couple of like extra steps you need to take care of. But of course, it's available to you as well. Now, some of you might have downloaded Frank app as well. That works just the same as Slide. So there are two operators, but we are currently in a transition that we are moving to a Slice operator. Some of you might have tried to get your student card working in advance already, and after doing all these steps, if your card didn't work, the reason is probably that your study ride hadn't started yet. So if you didn't attend any of the August language courses that were organized before, your study ride began yesterday. So it can be a situation that you tried to do all this already and it didn't work. That's probably the reason. So you must have taken care of the student union membership fee, and you must have making sure that it has been registered at the university and then your study ride must have begun. So these are sort of the two requirements in order to get your student card working. Your student card might also show that there is like an expiration date at the end of this year. No need to worry about it. Worry about that. So if you're staying in our university and in Jyväskylä for the whole academic year, don't worry about the expiration date in your Slice app, because once the new semester starts, once the spring semester starts, the expiration date actually moves to the end of the semester. So no need to worry about that if you see this like a very if you see this red text appearing in your Slice app. If you don't yet have a student card, no need to worry. You can still get the student-priced meals as you're waiting for your student card to start working. Meanwhile, you can download a certificate of student status from our course registration system, SISU. You can find it in your own profile. And if you download this certificate, you can get the student-priced meals in the campus restaurants for a few weeks. So it's a temporary situation or a solution that we have created for you to get access to the student price already at this stage while you're waiting for your student card to start working. So use that in the meantime. Do, however, note that this student card doesn't, or the certificate of student status doesn't work or entitle you to get discounts elsewhere. So you need to have the Finnish student card Slice, either a digital student card with the Slice app or a physical student card. So keep this in mind. But in the campus restaurants, feel free to use the certificate for the first few weeks. All right, then about the student tutors. So every exchange we are basically with Elisa coordinating the international tutoring system for all the exchange students, and we have automatically assigned a tutor for all of you. In case you haven't heard from your tutor yet, or you have encountered some sort of like shortcomings, please let us know. You can find our email address at the end of the slide. If you have received information from your tutor, but you haven't replied them yet, please do that as soon as possible so that they know that you are here and you are present, and that they can start helping you out in all sorts of different matters. Because that's what they do, and that's their main task. They are, as Auli said, students themselves as well, and they have been trained to take care of certain kinds of tasks related to course registration, how to use the library, how to open a bank account in Finland. All these sorts of matters tutors are supposed to take care of. All right, I think that's everything from me. Okay. Yeah, are there any questions at this stage? Okay, is the cube somewhere? It's cube time. So the Slice or the Finnish student card mainly works only in Finland. And for example, if you have an IC card, maybe some of you have this like international student identity card, it doesn't, while you might be entitled to get certain discounts also in Finland with that card, it doesn't actually show proof of your student status here in Finland, and therefore you're going to need the Finnish student card, either a physical student card or the Slice app, in order to get, for example, discounts in buses and trains and museums and so forth. Yeah. Are there any? That was a great question. Thank you. Are there any other questions?
I I haven't received yet my student card. So what was that certificate study?
Yeah. So it's basically a certificate created for by the university for all students. It kind of like lists your studies and shows your student status. So you can use that as a temporary certificate to get the student prized meals. And you can download it from SISU, our course registration system. If you go to your own profile, there should be a link, a download, a certificate of student status. And you can, once you visit a campus restaurant, you can just show the certificate from your phone, and the restaurants are aware that we are using this as a temporary solution for the first few weeks now. Unfortunately not. So the learning agreement is not enough on its own. You are going to need to have the certificate of student status. But you can get it if you have successfully identified at the university and you have received your login credentials. You should be able to use those once you have taken care of the necessary steps to change the password and that sort of stuff. Once you have taken care of that, you should be able to access SISU. If not, then in those situations, contact the digital services of the university or pay them a visit in the library building. But you should be able to log into SISU, and it's a very like a straightforward procedure to get the certificate. Yeah, thank you. Sorry, I couldn't quite catch the question.
How are we going to divide that for one semester, 5 semesters, 3 semesters, 5, or how is it going to be? To whom may I ask?
Elisenos is better.
If you want to know the timetable of the lessons to see where they are in the year, you can see it in SISU. So once you choose the course in SISU, you will see when the lessons are held. But if you want to know more, like in general, I would say ask your faculty level international coordinator. So you will have an info with them on Thursday afternoon. Yeah. Library building, which is building B. So that's
here.
Yes, yeah. It's out, if you go out from this building straight down, and there's the library building. Yes, there was a question back there, I think. No? Okay. In that case, I think since we are already a bit behind schedule, we could give the floor to Elisa and move on to academic practices. Yes.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. And welcome.
Adesso che si entrano.
Io.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome on my behalf as well. I'm the other, Elisa. So, Elisa Heimovara from the Faculty of Education and Psychology. Regarding the courses, I'll talk a bit more about them on Thursday, more for those of you who are exchange students in our faculty. In general, I'd advise you to wait until Thursday to meet your faculty level coordinators, who will provide you with more information regarding the planning of the courses, timetables, content of the courses, and such. Okay. And also, I can tell you that, for example, in our faculty, not all the timetables are visible in CISO yet, because we have a new curriculum and there has been, well, or there have been some slight changes in the timetables and organization. Okay. No. Okay, let's try again. Yeah, no, thanks. Okay, this is a very long presentation. Not to worry, I'm not going to talk about everything here. It's just more so that it will be uploaded onto the webpage and you will have access to this later on. This is more or less the content of the presentation, but I'd like to first tell you about that. In Finland, the way we understand university studies and university degrees is that also master's level students are considered to be undergraduate, okay? So even if you are a master's level student, you will find information regarding your studies under the basic degree student instructions, okay? And only those of you who are here as visiting PhD students will find information separately for instructions for doctoral students. ECTS system is familiar to most of you, I think. Are there some people who are not familiar with ECTS? Some? Yes. Good. ECTS is an European credit transfer system, so joined to European Union countries. And even though it is a joint system, there are still some differences or some variation regarding the interpretation of the system. So, for example, in our university, one ECTS credit, or opintopiste in Finnish, equals to 27 hours of student work. Mind, 27 hours of student work. So that actual amount of work can include anything and everything, from contact teaching to reading materials, writing essays, sitting an exam, so everything. And one academic year is calculated to be worth of 1,600 hours of work, so 60 credits. And if you divide the 60 credits by two, you will get 30 credits per semester. Most of our courses are worth 5 credits, but there are some smaller courses as well. Here is the timetable for this year. We don't have a lot of public holidays in autumn, basically just the Independence Day on the 6th of December. If you have friends who are studying in the University of Applied Sciences here in Jyväskylä, they might tell you about an autumn holiday, or if you are doing a teaching practice in our teacher training school, the schools and the University of Applied Sciences have an official autumn holiday, week 42, but our university does not. And quite often the Erasmus Student Network organizes a trip during that week, but please note that it's not an official holiday week here, so you might need to think about the possible lectures and lessons missed during that week if you decide to travel. So how to plan your studies? CISU has been referred to several times already this morning, and if I understand correctly, just after me, there is going to be a separate presentation on CISU. It's a software that we are using for course registration, study planning, keeping track on grades and credits completed. So it's a useful tool. So when you log on to CISU, you will see. Okay, it's time out. Okay. When you log on to CISU, you will have a ready-made template for your studies in our university. It's titled something like Exchange Studies, and then the department or faculty that you are located in. And it will give you the options of choosing some courses based on the template. Once you do your study plan and you sort of place the courses that you are interested in into your study plan, you activate them, and then you can enroll. But more information today and also from your tutors and on Thursday afternoon from us, so faculty level coordinators. You can also get the aforementioned certificate of studies from CISU. You can just, you know, download it for yourself and show it from your mobile phones at the cafeterias until you get the student card. Also, later on, when you have completed the courses and grades and credits have been registered for you, you can get an official digitally signed transcript of records from CISU. And in any case, it's a good idea to check it regularly to see that all of the courses that you have participated in, that the credits and grades have actually been registered for you. Sometimes there are technical problems. Sometimes it is, you know, a user-related problem, so the teacher has forgotten to activate the, to transfer the credits or something. So it's a good idea to check it regularly. CISU support, contacted via help desk, will help you if you have technical problems. Okay, I think this is more or less it. Most of the courses, probably, will be from your own faculty, your own department. But remember that our Center for Multilingual Academic Communication also has very, very interesting courses on offer. To an extent, you can also choose courses from other departments. But please note that there are some restrictions, and usually the departments, the units, give priority to their own students. So if you are appointed to, let's say, the Department of History and Ethnology, you have the right of priority to the courses organized by that department. And here are the links to the course, English medium course web pages. The course codes tell you not only the subject, but also the level of each course. So the first three digits tell you the subject. For example, PSY stands for Psychologia, Psychology. Some others are a little bit more difficult to understand if you don't know Finnish. Like, for example, this TIE stands for Tietotekniikka or Computer Science. Okay? But you'll soon get the hang of it. And anyway, you will have the lists of the available courses. Then the fourth digit tells you the level of the study, level of the course. P is the first year level courses, so first year of bachelor's. A is for second or third year bachelor's, and S is for master's level studies. And J stands for jatko-opi, not so doctoral level studies. You might see something else like O. That's usually like the orientation level course or general studies.
Okay.
Registering for courses, I don't go into details because you are going to have a separate session right now after me. But please note that you have to check whether the course is taught during the semester, during the time you will be here in Jyväskylä. So it's possible that in your SISU template and in SISU, if you search for courses, you will see something that would be of interest to you, but it's not actually taught this semester or even this academic year. Okay, so pay attention to the teaching time and also the language of instruction. You register for not only the course, but the completion method. So you have to choose the proper completion method. There might be several options, like, for example, there might be a book exam, independent study, but then there is also a contact teaching option. If I understood correctly, you more or less have already access to the university credentials. You can log on to the systems. Yeah, okay. So that's good to know because you might want to start registering for the courses and composing your study plan in SISU on Thursday after you have met with your faculty level coordinators, or even sooner if you know more or less what to do and what to choose. Each course in SISU has a separate registration period, which actually varies quite a lot from course to course. There are certain departments, like the Department of Languages and Communication, which have more or less the same registration period for all the courses. But for example, in my faculty, it varies. It can be anything. So you have to check. Sometimes, actually most often, when students contact me and tell me that they can't register for a course, it's because it's not yet active, you know, the period. Check the timetables. Sometimes the courses overlap. If it happens like once, it's usually not a big problem. But if it happens several times, or let alone weekly, then that's going to be an issue and you have to choose one of the courses and drop another. But this is once again something that we'll be talking more about on Thursday, because the requirements for attendance and, you know, the possibility to be absent, that varies quite a lot from department to department and discipline to discipline. Some disciplines are pretty flexible with the absences, some others are really strict. And if you miss more than, you know, 20% of the contact teaching, you will automatically fail. But that is something that we'll talk about on Thursdays. Modes of study, and sorry for rushing on, but as my namesake said, we are a little bit behind the schedule, so I try to catch up a bit. Modes of study can be anything. It can be mass lectures for hundreds of people, but it can also be small group seminar work, pair work, group work, independent study, laboratory work, demonstrations, in physical education, you know, practicing various sports. Lots of things, lots of variation in the teaching modes. Online teaching is also quite a big thing nowadays, post-pandemic times. Some units utilize it more than some others, but for example, in our faculty, some of the psychology courses are taught online. And please note that we also have courses that are that don't have contact teaching at all. They have they are called independent study options. So you just read the materials and then either sit an exam or write an essay or write an assignment. It can be something else than an essay. And in CISL, you can find the necessary information. So in this information sheet, there is the basic information of the course regarding learning objectives, contents, completion methods. So for example, this one it will be an online course. And then this integrated research communication course, even though the example is from 2 years ago, there is online teaching for certain master's degree program students. Then there is small group teaching for several different groups at different times of the year. So this is what you should be looking for when you search for the information in CISL. If there are several completion methods, check which one is suitable for you. And I'd like to point out once more, check also the language, because it might be that one of the completion modes is in English and the other ones are in Finnish. This is important. We all have our own tradition of academic writing, and the conventions can actually vary quite a lot. And I don't only mean depending on where you come from or where you have studied, but also your discipline. So an essay in education is kind of different from an assignment in physics, for example. So bear that in mind. Be aware of your own background and your own traditions, and get acquainted with the requirements of the course here in Jyväskylä. Nowadays, the assignments are submitted mostly onto the Moodle platform. Are you familiar with Moodle? Yeah, many of you are. It's a learning environment, a platform that most of our teachers nowadays use for their teaching. So they upload the materials, at least the presentation slides and stuff like that there. Also the instructions for the written assignments and stuff. And usually assignments are submitted onto that. Some of our teachers use other platforms like Teams, but Moodle is by far the most common one. Check deadlines. They are usually mentioned in Moodle and at the beginning of each course. Try to follow the deadlines. Okay. Some of our teachers are more flexible regarding the deadlines, but some are not. And usually they have sort of reserved time for grading your papers after the deadline. So if you miss the deadline, it's possible that they won't have the time to read it until, you know, sometime later. Academic misconduct covers fraud and plagiarism. So fraud is, for example, if you talk with your friend, your fellow student during an examination, or you provide your friend with a piece of writing that you did, or you are sitting an examination for someone else, so basically you are faking an identity there. Or if you are doing laboratory work, practical, experimental, empirical work, and you falsify your measurements, or you are you are analyzing interviews and you sort of just write something that is not actually there in the original materials. And plagiarism means that you are borrowing, you are stealing somebody else's work without giving them credit for it. So you always remember to name your source, to use proper citing methods and referencing in general. What is the proper citing method varies from discipline to discipline. In our faculty, for example, APA style is quite commonly used. The main thing is that the reader is always, all the time, aware of the fact whether they are reading something that you yourselves thought or whether it's something that you are summarizing from somebody else. Okay? And more information is available via those links. Then something that is kind of a hot topic at the moment, the use of artificial intelligence. Our guidelines are quite new because this is a relatively new phenomenon to an extent. So our guidelines are from last year, 2023. In principle, it's okay to use artificial intelligence, but only in certain cases, only for certain purposes, and you have to remember to indicate that you've been using artificial intelligence, okay? And you are always responsible for the text, for the assignments that you submit. So if you trust ChatGPT and it says something totally wrong, incorrect, it goes to it's your fault. You can't really trust artificial intelligence as such, but it's okay to use it for formulating your research questions or writing the first draft of something, the first paragraphs or whatnot. More information from the teachers if need be. Okay. Just a few words about exams. We have different types of exams. We have lecture exams, which are usually part of a course based on the presentations. Then we have book exams, which can either be part of a course, of a face-to-face teaching course, or then independent study option, the only mode of study. Okay. Quite often these book exams are completed either in Moodle, so online from distance, or then in our e-examination classrooms, one in next to library and one in Agora building. There is more information about e-exams there and the link to the e-exam guide. A very useful option. Then general examinations are available only in three faculties nowadays. Mathematics and Science, ICT, and School of Business and Economics. These are once a month, and you need to register separately for them, but your faculty level coordinators will tell more about that. Grading. The teachers have to grade your assignments or your exams within 2 weeks after you have taken the exam or after you have submitted your assignment. However, if you submit before the deadline, the teacher is not obligated to grade it before the deadline, okay? So if the deadline is like 1st of November, but you submit it on 1st of October, it's possible that the teacher will start grading after the 1st of November. Our grading scale in general is from 0 to 5. 0 is fail, so 1 is the lowest pass grade, and 5 is the best, excellent. We have some courses that are only graded as pass or fail. Okay. And in the past, this has been a challenge for some of our exchange students because your home universities or their home universities do not accept this kind of grading scale. If you decide to choose one of the courses with pass or fail grading scale, check with your home university that it is okay, that it can be accepted in your learning agreement, because we can't change the grading scale. It is going to be graded as pass in your official transcript of records. Okay. Do you understand what I mean? Yeah. Okay. Good. It's possible to resit an examination or resubmit a written assignment if you are not happy with the grade. It's always a good idea to talk with the teacher, though. So, for example, if you get a 3, which is actually, good, so no need to resit an exam. But if you decide to do so, talk with the teacher, especially if we're talking about written assignments. So, what could you do to improve? But your resit will have no negative impact on your grade, so it doesn't affect the grade that you will get in a negative way. We don't use normal distribution, so even if a course has 50 students and everybody is doing, very, very nicely, everyone can get a 5. So you are not sort of pushed onto a bell curve, onto a normal distribution. And you will see the grading results in CISU. This is an example of what it looks like when you have completed an entire study module. You can see it there, or then you can see it in the completed credits section under My Profile. One more thing that is kind of noteworthy regarding the transcript of records: the courses you fail or you drop do not show in the transcript of records, only the courses that you pass. It is also not possible to leave out a course, even if you are not happy with your grade, and you wouldn't wish to present it to your home university. We can't, unfortunately, delete it from your records. Everything that you have completed here successfully will be shown in the transcript. And perhaps one more thing regarding CISU. Anytime you require a digitally signed official transcript of records, you can download it yourselves from CISU. And yeah. Okay. To conclude with very quickly about the contact with staff, you will notice if you haven't already that we are very low on hierarchy here in Finland. So we use first names even for our professors, and especially in once again in my faculty. If you come to our Ruusupuisto building, you will see, especially in winter, people walking around in their woolen socks, very, very informal attire. We are still, even if we are informal, we are still polite, though, okay? When you approach the teachers or other members of staff, do it by visiting them during their office hours or make an appointment by email. If you contact them by email, be as precise as possible in your message. So tell clearly, state clearly who you are using your official first name, surname as they appear in CISU. And also, if it is a course-related question, state which course you are talking about. The teachers usually have several, and it's very difficult to know which course your question is about if you just say something that I have a problem with your course. Best regards, Mary. Okay? you might have 15 Marys in 5 different courses. And one more thing, we get a lot of email, we get a lot of messages. Please allow us to have some time to answer you. So don't expect us to answer in 2 hours or even 2 days sometimes. Okay. More information available here. Also where to ask, student mailing lists. Goodies, you have a separate session about tomorrow. But anyway, later on this week, you will have more information about Student Life Initiative and goodies. So I'm not going to go there. I think we have to stop because, but if you have some urgent questions, perhaps one or two. But remember that my colleagues and I will meet you on Thursday and we'll talk in more detail about the discipline and department-specific practices and course content and registration and stuff like that. Teaching practice. Did you ask about teaching practice? Because I couldn't hear you properly.
Oh, sorry. Testing out or placement tests, how are those run? Is that something that you have to talk to your faculty coordinator about?
Yeah, okay. Definitely. Okay. I think I'll let my colleague talk more about CISO. So thank you, and for about 90 of you, see you on Thursday.
Okay, before we